The Space God Memoirs. Episode 24.
Finally, another archway opened up in front of me, purple light visible beyond. I would have just stepped through to have a look, but I paused in the hall, hearing voices beyond.
"Why don't you sit in the chair yourself, if you think it's the way to go?"
I heard a bellowing man's voice say.
"Oh, I guess you and I are the smart ones,"
a scratchy voice responded from around the corner. As I peeked around into the next chamber, I could see the sources of those voices. Smart ones? Well, I certainly wouldn't have called them that. Somnar and Trevos. They stood in a three-walled room, covered in a subtle purple light. Trevos was up on a raised platform at the far end, and Somnar a few feet away, at the bottom of three steps that led up to the platform. I said nothing. They hadn't noticed me yet, thankfully.
"This old tower is a trap,"
said the green-clad knight, his huge axe slung over one shoulder.
"Everything in it has been a trap. If they're testing anything of us, it is not our ability to trust or listen to directions. That altar showed us as much."
Altar? Oh yeah. Now that I looked, there was some kind of altar between the two of them. And if I wasn't mistaken, there was what looked like a body on it. Whose? I couldn't tell from my vantage point. None of the others were anywhere to be seen, so that was no hint. Trevor stepped down from his position atop the stairs to within a pace of Somnar. My eyes took in what had been behind him. Some kind of metal throne in front of a weird-looking red arch that did not lead into another room. I made sure to press my back against the corner. Didn't want that bastard to see me.
"So what do you propose?" asked the Slayer. "Looks like this chair is our only option. The prince convinced the others to sit in it."
"Well, not you, eh?"
"Oh, I'm still not totally convinced it didn't just disintegrate them all," said Trevos. "Now that would be a fine test of my gods, to see if any of us are stupid enough to sit in their chair."
"Seems like the obvious choice," said the Green Knight. "The sacrifice is made. The portal activated. We winners get to go through for our reward."
Somnar began walking while talking, pacing around the room, sometimes lowering his axe or swinging it in the air randomly.
"Sir Knight," began Trevos, "I may be a man of faith. I know firsthand that our gods are real, and I don't question their wisdom. But I've been around long enough to know that our lords beyond aren't the most altruistic bunch."
Trevos took a peek back at the aforementioned chair, shook his head, and began to step off the dais he was on.
"Right," said Somnar. "Survival of the fittest. Fend for yourselves. Prove yourself worthy and whatnot."
He kept his pacing, moving about the room. But he also kept his eyes on Trevos, I noticed.
"To my guess," began Trevos,
his boots clanking on the floor as he stepped fully down from the dais towards the knight,
"is that they're not exactly accepting every applicant. Last man standing kind of thing."
I couldn't see from my angle, but I could picture an annoyingly cocky grin on his face.
"Yeah, figured it'd come to that,"
growled Somnar, once more hefting the axe over his shoulder with one hand, then turning towards Trevos.
"Afraid so, my good knight," said the Slayer.
There was a metallic hiss as he whipped out his twist blade and flipped his hand twice, expanding it out to the size of a short sword. I expected to see Big Dom Somnar take his axe and lunge for Trevos. Instead, his free hand went to his waist, where he kept a small knife. In a surprisingly deft motion, Somnar tossed that knife. Trevos grunted in pain as it struck directly between his shoulder and neck, at a weak point in his armor. The Slayer stepped back, lowering his blade arm.
Then Samnar let loose a roar as he rushed towards the smaller man, saliva gushing from his open mouth. He swung his notched axe in a downward arc, aiming to split Trevos' head. The fanatic dodged to the side at the last moment. Somnar's axe struck the ground, ringing the room like a bell as sparks shot upward. Before the bigger man could recover, Trevos sliced sideways at him. A splatter of blood struck the nearby wall as the twist blade cut a gash into Somnar's right arm, slicing straight through his power armor. As the knight slowly recovered, Trevos reached for the knife embedded in his own shoulder. With a quick tug, he tore it out, grimacing as bloody fluids oozed from out of his wound. He tossed Somnar's knife to the floor, then focused on his own weapon. He passed the twist blade from his right hand to his left, flipping it over one more time until it uncoiled to longsword size. He seemed to be ignoring his injury, and now I could see that devil-may-care grin on his face, which made his scar look particularly wicked. Trevos made another thrust at Somnar. The knight was ready, blocking the twist blade with the head of his axe. Another swing, another block. The two men's weapons collided as they stepped and grunted, sparks flying in the air and metal clashing. Both of them were distracted, so I took the opportunity to move into an even more concealed position, behind a pillar near the room's entry. There, I noticed the glint of metal, Somnar's throwing knife. I picked it up and crouched down, out of view, just in time to watch Somnar make a wild axe swing right over Trevos' head. The Slayer took the opportunity and thrust forward, bringing the tip of his twist blade right into the knight's gut. The big man grunted in pain, but did not waste a moment. Dropping his axe, the knight reached out and grabbed Trevos, his huge hands wrapping around the Slayer's neck. His face turning red and his eyes bulging, Trevos wrenched his twist blade from Somnar's stomach. The Slayer struggled with his blade, perhaps aiming to cut himself free from the death grip. But before he could do so, Somnar hefted him in the air and tossed Trevos towards the corner of the room, where he collided with the wall. As Trevos began to push himself off the ground, Somnar once more picked up his immense axe. Bellowing out another roar, the green-armored man charged towards his foe, this time swinging his axe low. Before Somnar could make impact, Trevos leapt, propelled upward by small jets on his back. He shot directly up, slashing with his twist blade, now the size of a great axe. Blood gushed up and outward. He landed, covered in a film of red, as Somnar's body was rent in two, the vicious weapon cleaving through both armor and man, while blood and guts rained down. Then Trevos the Slayer took a deep breath and laughed. I saw him flipping his blade a few more times, just for show. Though as far as he knew, he was the only person in the room. Then he once again sheathed it. He looked up at the ceiling and raised his arms, as red fluids dripped all over him.
"Looks like I've won, great lords beyond," he cried out. "Time for the prize!"
He stood there for what seemed like a good long time, arms raised to the sky, covered in his own blood and his opponent's, a downright diabolical look on his face. I halfway expected a red beam of light to stream down and embrace him in some kind of unholy transfiguration. What followed was nothing.
"Come on!" he finally shouted, lowering his arms. "I won!"
After a few more moments, he lowered his head and let out a sigh.
"What?"
he asked of nobody.
"Did you expect me to sit in a scragging chair?"
He looked at it again, looked at the altar and the still unknown body, once more shook his head and began backing away, right towards the pillar that I was hiding behind. I heard him cough, followed by a clank as he leaned up against it. I couldn't fully see him now, but could hear him breathing a bit heavier, clearly feeling the effects of his wound setting in. I pondered the situation for a moment. Nope. I stopped pondering and stabbed the bastard right in the neck with Somnar's knife. He yelped in surprise and began turning around. Still nope. I stabbed him again, right in his exposed neck. More blood began gushing out, and this time I stabbed him once more in his throat. His body fell forward and clattered to the ground. Yes, I stabbed him a fourth time, this one in the back of his head, for Rayleigh.
To be totally sure, I slid Trevos's likely dead corpse down the ramp into the previous room with the laser beam, and let that cut him in half a few times. Can't hurt to be sure they're dead, I say, especially when dealing with super-powered psychos. I was scragged if I was going to be turning my back on his supposed corpse and find he had suddenly gotten a second wind. At last, I brushed off my hands and walked back into the three-sided room. Now that two yugs weren't fighting in the room, I decided to get a better look at it. I noticed quickly that there was no other exit to this room, much as their talk had suggested. I next noticed that archway made of coiling red metal that rose up over the back of the chamber but led to no other hall. Between it was the chair they had talked about, made of the same weird metal. What took my attention next was what stood between me and that chair. On the slightly raised dais where Trevos had been standing was a square altar, and upon it was indeed a body. I drew closer, looking out for any traps. That was one of the knights laying dead on the altar, their arms folded over their chest and their legs lying limp to the sides. They were without helmet. As I got closer, I could see that it was Bakibra. Her head hung to the side. Her eyes rolled back in a lifeless expression. I got a strange feeling just looking at her. A tightness in my chest. There were no visible wounds on the body, not that I could tell. What had killed her? Poison? Some freaky high-tech life drain? With her arms folded over like that, it was almost looking deliberate. Like some funeral. Or sacrifice. Then I noticed the writing on the front side of the altar, which appeared to form on the surface as if responding to my thoughts. To give of oneself is the noblest of virtues. The success of the group overshadows the life of the individual. I stood there, looking down at Bakibra's limp body, the strange writing underneath. This had to be some kind of sacrifice, I guessed. That phrase below sounded just like something one of the priests would utter back in the river towns, or what some clown politician would say to get people to go to war. This was obviously one of the tests, something put here by whoever had built this tower, cruel bastards that they were. It was probably designed to test people's dedication, their loyalty, their love, or just the opposite, maybe. I could imagine the scenario easily enough. The brave heroes would come up to this room and see the message that someone needed to be sacrificed in order for all to move on. If they were complete psychopaths, they'd all just grab the weakest person and murder them. If some of them were good, decent folk, however, they might debate it. They might draw straws to see who had to die so that the others might live. Or you might get some noble fool like Bakibra, ready to die for king, country, and the man she loved. Had she passed her test? Would the gods bring her back to life after this and exalt her above all others for her noble sacrifice? While that would have been cool, I knew the answer was probably an affirmative no. Erubus wasn't the kind of place that rewarded noble acts. And if these were the same gods who ran the planet, I doubted this was much different. It was a trap, plain and simple. No matter what was decided, nobody won. I looked down at Bakibra and shook my head. It was a shame, I supposed, her dying like that. While I had an all-encompassing dislike for the entire party of knights, she was the least annoying of the bunch. Well, I figured, looking away, at least I wasn't here with them. They probably would have thrown me on that altar. But where were the others? I looked around for any exits I might have missed. Nope. Plain and simple layout, no hidden hallways or passages to be seen. Unless they were behind secret panels or something. I knew I had a better eye than most for that type of thing anyway. So what was there? The chair, of course. Just like Trevos and Somnar had been debating when I came in. I walked closer to it. Crazy looking thing for a chair, that was for sure. From what I could tell, it was made of red metal, or what looked like it, but the arms and legs were all twisted and woven together like a rope. At the ends, spikes jutted out, and I could clearly see wrist and ankle straps on the arms and legs. Just being there near the chair, I could feel a curious sensation. Tingly, electrical, shivery at the same time.
Normally, I would be pretty suspicious of mysterious chairs in the middle of god towers, with dead bodies a few feet away. Okay, well, not normally, but you know what I mean. But this had to be what took them out of here. I briefly imagined what it could be. Would I become a god myself from sitting in it? Nah, I told myself. Wasn't how it worked. Too simple. But it had to be something. So I tossed caution down the ramp and sat down. Immediately, the tingly feeling grew, or rather it escalated tenfold, until my whole body was shaking. I would have stood back up, but the wrist and ankle manacles clicked into place, trapping me. Before I could think about it much more, I began to hear a sound, too, a buzzing, humming type of noise, accompanied by an ever-increasing warmth spreading across my skin. There was a rush, a sharp and electrical tingle that zoomed from my balls up my spine until it exploded out of the top of my skull. My vision cascaded with light until there was nothing but white in front of me. Then I think I might have died. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Space God Memoirs. Space God is written, performed, and produced by A.M. Arctos. Original musical score by Alpha Colors. Various sound effects created by Industrial Strength Records Incorporated. Please support this podcast by following, rating, and sharing on your favorite social media site. For further info on Space God, its creator, and various other opinions, musings, and thoughts, go to www.spacegodmemoirs.com or follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. If you enjoyed the Space God Memoirs, please consider supporting us by becoming a patron. Check out the Patreon link in our description to learn more.